Okay, as always, the Torah should read it in Ishmael Sugashim and Ravari. This week is Parshas Tazria and Parshas HaChodesh. And so let's try and look a little bit at each of the Parshas. Beginning of Parshas Tazria begins by telling us about a woman that gives birth either to a boy or to a girl, and the dinim of Tumah and Tahara that are applicable. Were it to be a boy, there's a mitzvah of Bris Milah on the eighth day. And then the parasha continues to tell us about the dinim of Tzaraas, the various dinim of Tzaraas. At the beginning of the parasha, there's a Medrash Tanchumah. The Medrash Tanchumah says that there is a reason why, as always, the Torah puts various parashas next to each other. And the Torah puts the parasha of Ma'acholes Asuras at the end of last week's parasha, right before the parasha here at the beginning of Tazria of Tumah and Tahara. And the Miloshon of the Tanchuma is Kach Hatinoi Kazeh Ad Shelo Yotzo Mime'ei Imoi, before it exits from the womb of its mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaveh Oysoi Va'omer Loi, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam commands the fetus and says to it, Mizeh Toichal U'Mizeh Loi Toichal, from this you may eat and from this you may not eat. This is what is kosher, this is what is not kosher, this is what you can eat, this is what you can eat. Umishu makabalala bime'i imoi kala mitzvah shabatera va'achar karach noilad lakach ksiv isha kisazria. So a child, prior to being makabal on themselves, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, is told by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this you can eat, this you cannot eat. And then the child agrees to that, agrees to keeping the entire Torah, and subsequently is born. That's the lesson from the Medrash Tanchuma. It's a little needs a little explanation. Tanchuma starts off by saying the Rabbeinu Shem gives this child one mitzvah. These things you can eat, and these things you cannot eat, or one set of mitzvahs. And the child's umishim akabel alavim e'imoy kolam mitzvah shem Torah is afterwards born. He wasn't told about all the mitzvahs of the Torah. He was told about the mitzvahs of Achila, of what he can eat, or what he or she can eat, or what they cannot eat. I mean, we know the Gemara itself says that, the Gemara Nida says that Mashviya Noisai, we make every neshama make a shua that they're going to keep the entire Torah. So what does the Medrash over here mean, that there's one mitzvah that's being asked of this unborn child? So Reb Tzadok HaKohen has a long shticker at the beginning of this week's parasha to explain that adherence to the laws of Ma'acholos Asuras is really a yesod for adherence to the entire, to Kol HaTorah Kula. Because what we ingest, what we take inside of us, really becomes and fashions out who we are, and then we are those who need to keep the Torah. So if we ingest and we take into ourselves, we digest and ingest things which are ruled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that may, or that will, be an impediment for us being able to keep the entire Torah. In fact, he says, let's look at the first Avera that was committed in the world. It was as a result of Achila. And therefore Achila is that which potentially the Rebbeinu Shalom told them, Ezeh Toichu, Ezeh Toichu Lo Toichu. The Rebbeinu Shalom told Adam Rishon and Chava what to eat and what not to eat. It wasn't just don't eat. Mikol Eitz Hagan Toichal. It was very important. Go and eat from the Eitz Hagan. But from this one, don't. So it seems to be eating correctly and adhering to the mitzvahs and not eating from what one is not meant to eat from is a yesod to the observance of the whole Torah. And Reb Tzadok, in one of his Sfarim, writes that he had a chaloim, and in that chaloim, a darshan was giving a drosha, and he asked, why is it that in the parasha of Vehoyam Shemaya, in Shema, it says, V'ochalto, V'savato, Uveirachto, sorry, not Uveirachto, V'ochalto, V'savato, let's get it right, I know we say it twice a day, but and straight away he shomru lachem penyiftelavchem esaretem abadetem lehim achirin. But what's the hemshich? What is the Torah telling us that you'll be eating and you'll be satisfied? Be careful penyiftelavchem. Now penyifta seems is also a lashon lest your heart will naturally or on its own become influence. Really, we would have said that perhaps if we wanted to be properly medactic, then it should pen tispatu bilavavchem. Maybe you will become influenced by your heart. Pen yiftelavavchem means your heart will become influenced. How's your heart becoming influenced? Something's happening to the heart, and then subsequent to that, we are influenced by our heart. What is happening to our heart? So Reb Tzadok HaKohen responded to the to the darshan in his dream that there's a Tana de Be'elio, which is brought by Tosis in Ksuvus, that says Ad she'odam mispalel al dibrei Torah, she konsul usoich me'ov yispalel al achilo ushia yisera. Or Tosis says he should be mispalel that ma'adanim shelo yikonsul usoich me'ov. That a person should ensure, in order for Torah, the Tana de Be'elio says, a person should daven that one should have all the achilas in kedusha, because if one is satiated from an achila which is not with kedusha, that can cause a person to be over on averus. As we know, Rabbeinu Yonah says that someone who was involved in averus and wants to begin a mahalach of tshuva, what should he do? One of the things he should do is limit in his achila, create limitations in his achila. As the pasuk says, pen toichal besavata v'rom levavecha v'shochachta v'yishman yeshurun v'yivot. There seems when one indulges in Olam Hazeh, particularly in Achila or Shasiya, that can be a cause. That what happens is pen yiftel avavchem, that it just becomes part of the nature of that person, the overindulgence in certainly things that one's not allowed to eat, even in excess in what one is allowed to eat, but perhaps eating it in an incorrect way, that can be goyim a person for which you have to say hishomru lachem, and one has to be careful.
Is that why tainus is part of tshuva?
Yes, 100%. He says that's what the Rosha on Pesach comes and asks us. Well, before that he explains Kedarka, Reb Tzadok says that Achila on Shabbos is a different type of Achila. Any Achila Shal Mitzvah, and particularly Achila of Shabbos, there when a person takes what one has and one saves it for Shabbos, you know, like Shammai Azokin, he saw a Mane Yofeh and he said Zu Tehele Shabbos. So when one takes, instead of just indulging and overindulging without a cheshbon, one takes the nice and enjoyable achilus and shtiyas and saves them for Shabbos, so infuses them with kedusha, then that same achila, which perhaps during the week would have been considered overindulgent and out of place, when it's used for a mitzvah, for a sudas mitzvah, for Shabbos, or for Yom Tov, that is maleit and that gives a person kedusha. He said, but that's what the Rosh didn't understand when he asks us, Moho avoda azois lochem. How does it work that you're having things which you lochem, you're enjoying, you're getting benefit from, and you're still calling it avoda? To which we respond to him, no, that's part of how a yid lives. A yid lives by preparing oneself, by putting away those things which I enjoy and would normally be considered overindulgent, and I use them for ways of kedusha. And that's really how we conduct our lives always. We have, the Rebbeinu Shem has provided us with a world that's full of hanois, and we appropriate those anoyas to times and situations that are appropriate for us. Hence, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, that's pshat in the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma tells us that the preceding parsha ends with Ma'acholes Asuras, followed by the child being born. And the Rabbeinu Shlomo tells this child before he or she is born, be careful with what you eat and how you eat it, because that's going to influence how well you're able to perform mitzvahs on a regular basis. And therefore, when the child says, yeah, father, I'm going to be careful with what I eat and how I eat it, one's set up in order to be able to keep the mitzvahs in the way that is wanted. Later on in the parasha, we talk about the parasha of Tzaraas, a person who never contracted Tzaraas for a variety of different reasons. And one of the things that has to happen to someone who became a Metzora Mukhlet, is that he's a certain Metzora, he gets sent Michutz LaMachane, he has to sit alone, and v'tomei tomei yikra, just to call out, I'm tomei, for what purpose? The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Zayin Omid Aleph, says that he has to be moidia to the public that he's in pain. One of the places that we see that Tzaraas, aside from it being a ruchnius tikka nega, but it had certain physical manifestations of a real illness, a real ailment. The skin shrunk, Chazal tell us, of a person when they had Tzaraas, it sometimes was shrunk, sometimes inflamed, it was painful. And this person has to let his tzar be known to the rabbim, so that the rabbim yevakshu alav rachamim. And the Gemara says, from here we learn, that if someone has a tree whose peiros are falling off, they're not growing, then what he should do is he should go and put a sikra, a red type of paint, around that tree, so that when people will see that, they'll daven for him. Libo ali rachamim. It's a fascinating thing, Rav Chatzkel said. A person's got a tree in his garden that normally is a fruit-bearing tree. This year, that tree is nabach, it's not doing what it's meant to be doing. What should he do? Go and put a little red paint on it, so that what? That people who are going around doing what they do on a normal day, and how often do they really take notice of what's going on in someone else's orchard, or in someone else's vineyard, or in someone else's garden? Not much. But if you put a red paint on, they may attract them, they may look and they may see, oh, there's something different about that tree. And so what? They're still busy doing what they're meant to be doing. They're going about doing their normal daily chores. So what they get? No, they'll notice, this is something that someone puts on when they're in a predicament. Look, we'll daven for them. And it will work. The Gemara's not telling us, go and do it, so that someone should daven. And for what purpose? No, because the tefillah works. So Reb Chatzel said over here, we see over here the power of a tefillah. We see with the power of a tefillah, it doesn't even need to be, how much kavana does someone have when they're walking down the road, doing whatever they're normally doing, they notice a tree that has some red on, oh, Rabbeinu Shalom, help him out with his tree. So Reb Chatzel doesn't matter, that's the power of tefillah. It's the power of tefillah for someone else. What we also learn from here is that the Torah is telling us really how we need to condition ourselves. If we see someone who's experiencing something that's difficult, daven for them. And how long will it take? Whilst doing what I normally do, I'm meant to daven for them. Because if that's not the way that we're meant to be, then why did the Torah tell, why does the Gemara tell this guy to put red on the trunk of his tree? What's it going to help? It must be that the way of Klal Yisrael is that naturally, if we see someone who's going through a difficult time, whatever it may be, we say a tefillah for them. That must be the nature of Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, what's the point of the Gemara telling us, put some red on the tree? So if someone will see it, they'll daven for you. The Gemara took that on as a given. A Yid sees someone else in a predicament, we daven. Ah, because that's the way it is, because that's the given, therefore go and do it. Says Reb Chatzkel, and then we see the power of what a tefillah is. And the tefillah is, you know, small things. The last gated Rav, Reb Rakov Zeichatal Ibracha, used to say that he heard from Moshe Zalman Orbach the power of a little thing, saying Karbonus before Mincha. He says there's a skula that a person will never need to go to a doctor. Saying Karbonus before Mincha. I'm not sure what that is and why it's so powerful, but there are certain tefillahs. This week, there's an opportunity for us. We mentioned this by Shabbos Chanukah, which was also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. There were three Sifrei Torah. I heard, and that I think there's a clip that's being passed around at the moment, that any time that we lane from three Sifrei Torah, when we open the Aron HaKodesh in order to prepare ourselves to lane from three Sifrei Torah, there's a Sefer Heichola, it's written by Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, one of the Asar HaRogei Malchus, within which he writes, it's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, Zeich Tzad Livracha, when people came to him for brachos, and it was around a time, an upcoming time, where there was going to be a Shabbos on which they lane from three Sifrei Torah, he would tell them, when they open the Aron HaKodesh to lane from those three Sifrei Torah, that's a tremendous Eis Ratzon, and that's the time to daven. How do we explain it? We say every Shabbos Mincha, and this is my tefillah to you, to you Hashem, Eis Ratzon, at the time of Ratzon. So the Zohar HaKadosh, the time of Shabbos Mincha, when we open the Aron HaKodesh to lane, is a tremendous Eis Ratzon. Why? Because a Yid, he's been to shul in the morning, he's daven, he's lane, he's been mekayim his mitzvah of learning. And then he went home and he had a festa suda. Maybe rested a little bit as well. And then he gets up to go and learn again. By the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. And therefore by Shabbos Mincha, we announce it. Vanis Vilasi, and it's a time to daven, says the Zohar HaKadosh, for whatever a person wants to daven for, because it's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. Here, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol is telling us, we're about to learn from three separate Sifrei Torah. That the Limud HaTorah of what we're about to do in it as a Tzibur, is a tremendous Eis Ratzon as we are about to embark on that mission together, and therefore it's a tremendous time for us to be able to daven.
Just going back on what you said, the reason why it says Tomei Tomei and publicizes it is that people should daven for him. But the Torah says that his own tefillah and an unwell person's tefillah has a greater koyach than other people's tefillahs. Right. So why doesn't he daven for himself? Why does he have to go out and say Tomei Tomei and publicize it?
Right.
And the answer is, it's because his tefillah stopped. because he's a Metzorah, his Tfilis is Shtapel, and he can't daven for himself. Therefore it goes out and says Tomei Tomei, oh, publicizes it so that other people can daven for him.
Why, and why are his stopped up? Because of what he did. Okay, let's move on to the mafter of this week. The first national mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, well, the Midrash says the Malachim as well, and enacted a Kiddush HaChodesh. And he told them, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This is the Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This is the Kiddush HaChodesh. Whenever we have a Hazeh in the Torah, that something's being pointed out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the exact moment and size of what's Chiddush HaLevana, at which point the new Chodesh begins. And as we've quoted before, Rabbi Chananel and Rabbi Bachai tell us that Klal Yisrael were given at this moment in time also the exact amount of chalokim, minutes and days, that every cycle of the moon is. Yet we are still told to be Mekadeshit al piyariya, but Kozera Eva Kadesh. And it's very interesting. The Sfarim, all in each one in their own way, point out a few amazing things. That this mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael whilst they were still in Mitzrayim. Before they had begun to do anything to make them deserving of Geula. This was a mitzvah that was given to them now, tomorrow evening. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Klal Yisrael are still in the Memtes Shaarei Tumah. They're not out of it yet. They haven't even begun to do anything to prepare themselves to get out of it. That's only going to happen, they're going to hear, after HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, the Rabbeinu Shem is going to say to them, okay, in 10 days time, Mishchu K'chu Lochem Tzoyin. Stop Avodah Zarah and take for yourself a carbon, so that 4 days after that you'll be able to bring a carbon Pesach. But at this point, when they're given this mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Klal Yisrael are still embedded in the Memtes Shaarei Tumah. And the Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this in order to show Klal Yisrael, this is HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This is a mitzvah that's for you. HaChodesh and HaChidush. That even when a person may think, I'm embedded in the 49th Shaar of Tumah, I can't start to think about doing tshuva now. First I have to get out of it, and then I can... No, says Rabbeinu Shem, don't think that way. Even when you're there, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, you have an opportunity and an ability to be mischadish right there where you are. In fact, I once heard a ha'ara, it says that the Rabbeinu Shem, we say about the Rabbeinu Shem, he's mechadish b'tuvay, b'chol yoim tomid ma'aseh bereishis. Now the Rabbeinu Shem had an option. He could have just made the world by ma'aseh bereishis to be new, and from then on it would roll on. B'derech HaTeva. And it doesn't say that. The Rabbeinu Shem is mechadish b'tuvay b'chol yoim tomid ma'aseh bereishis. The Rabbeinu Shem is mechadish every single day ma'aseh bereishis. He renews it for what purpose? The purpose is for us Klal Yisrael to know that every day chadoshim labakorim. It's a new morning. It's a new day, and a person is able to have a new start, irrespective of where I may have finished yesterday off. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, right here, in the Memtes Shaarei Tumah, you have the ability to extract yourselves and to start beginning that climb to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the yisod really of the Levana. We know the Levana, it waxes, it wanes, gets bigger, gets smaller, which is the cycle of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us. Even a tzaddik is Sheva Yipol Tzaddik Bekom. A person rises, a person slows down, a person goes up, a person goes down, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us, that we're exactly like the Levana. That's why David HaMelech was born from someone who was called Peretz, whose brother was Zerach. The Zerach was like the Zricha, the Ramban says, of the sun. And Peretz was like the moon that every breaks forth and breaks forth and disappears and breaks forth, because that's what Klal Yisrael are. We do have moments where we go into a hest upon him, or we distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are like the Levana. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Kozer Re'ei V'Kadesh. Like this, look at the moon. And that's how you tell Klal Yisrael, that's how they'll stay Kodesh. By realizing they can renew themselves constantly and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem Yishmuel writes that, as we know from all the Svarim from the Maharal, and then further down from all the Svarim that go on that Mahalach, that every year we relive through the experiences that Klal Yisrael lived through at that time. Reb Dessler used to put it in a really nice, simple, and easy way to understand. He said, the Jewish year is like a circular train track that has various stations. And we revisit those stations every year. Those stations contain within them a tremendous amount of shefa, of a particular shefa that Klal Yisrael had somewhere in their history. It was niskale to us that this is the shefa that's there. In the same way that Avraham Avinu had matzus at this time of year because there was a shefa in the world for whatever that represents. There's a shefa in the world for Klal Yisrael to be mischadish every single Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He says, in fact, that it's given to every single person a new chiyus. Every single yid has a new chiyus. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, which you can read as HaChidosh Hazeh Lochem. But it only works, he says, for someone who wants to extract themselves from Tumah and get closer to Kedusha. So that's the rotzen that we have to have. There's a tremendous hashpah melamala. We say a tremendous inspiration from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we need to have our motivation. We need, if we are motivated, we have a rotzen that we want to extract ourselves from Tumah, we want to get closer to Kedusha, promises the Shem Yishmur that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given every yid. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, you want to get out, you still may be where you are, you want to get out, I'll give that to you every single Rosh Chodesh. When? He says that it's focused, this Hashvah, in the first 10 days of Nisan. Those first 10 days of Nisan, he says, HaKadosh Baruch was told Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Klal Yisrael now on Rosh Chodesh and tell them, I'm giving them an opportunity to be Mischadish for the next 10 days, after which will be Mishchu Ukhulachem Tzom. That by then they're going to make a break. On Yud Nisan, they're going to make a break. Mishlu Yedechem Me'avodah Zarah, Ukuchulachem Tzoyin, you're going to bring a korban, now you become korban to HaKadosh Baruch. So they had these 10 days, he says, reminiscent of a certain type of aseret simei tshuva that Klal Yisrael have from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Yud Nisan inclusive, during which we have an opportunity to realign ourselves and explain to ourselves that we want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch. He says, those who say Yotzeres on Shabbos of about Chodesh Nisan, the Paitan there says it's a Chodesh Sheboy Yeshua's Makifos. A Chodesh within which Yeshua's tremendous amount of Yeshua's Makifos. There's different ways to explain that word Makifos in Lashon HaKodesh. One is Makifos like Hakofos; it surrounds us. Wherever we look through Chodesh Nisan, there are Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael. Provided we want to, they're there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia them to us. We've got to connect to them. We have to find our way of having that rotzen, that chukat, want to be mischadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it there as well. But I once heard, I don't remember who it was in the name of, Rav Chaim Kaufman said it was a famous word. He says that to buy something b'hakofa, the Gemara says you can sometimes buy things on credit. It's a Chodesh Shabbat Yeshua is makifa. We can take Yeshuas on credit. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Rosh Hashanah it doesn't always work. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, trust me, if I'm good, just give me everything now and I'll show you during the year. And we come to Chodesh Nisan, we can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Chodesh Shabbat Yeshua is Makivos. We can take on credit Yeshuas. The Yeshuas that are available here, Yeshuas of Geula. Of Geula from any Meitzah that we find ourselves in. Every person feels themselves restricted, or we restrict ourselves, or we believe that we don't have the koyach to do whatever it is that we want to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this Chodesh can actually help us and show us how we can have a yitzia, we can exit from our own mitzorim, from our own limitations that perhaps we've created for ourselves, or we believe are there. How? By us davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out that shefa. And it's a Chodesh Shabbat Yeshua is Makivos. We can take them on credit. Rabbeinu Shalom, if you give me this and you help me with this, I'll do this and this for you. That's taking it on credit. Yes, we can take it. This Chodesh has a Siyata Dishmaya that we can take it. Shabbat Yeshua is Makivos. The Magid, the Malach that came to the Beis Yosef told him, there's a Pasuk in Yechezkel which says, Vehine Itecho Eis Doidim. There's a time of tremendous Eis Doidim, a time of tremendous love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Magid said to the Beis Yosef, this is Elu Yemei Nisan. The days of Nisan are days where HaKadosh Baruch has a tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. It's a rebirth of Klal Yisrael. We're reborn into the Shefa where HaKadosh Baruch made us into his nation that we can come close to him, happens during this time. And Chassam Sofer, when he gave his Shabbos HaChodesh drosha to his Kehillah 1 year, he spoke about the fact that in Parashas Bo, in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis of Parashas Bo, there's a pasuk there which says, "Miyom Arishon Ad Yom Hashvi." Pasuk ends off. You have to have matzahs and you have to keep Yom Tov. Miyom Arishon Ad Yom Hashvi. He said, "What there seems to be that the Torah is telling us, there's a hemshech from Yom Arishon till Yom Hashvi. There's an avodah that traverses these 7 days that we begin on Yom Arishon and it culminates on Yom Hashvi. What was special about Yom Hashvi?" Yom HaShviyi was the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf. It says, and that's really where the whole of Pesach is building towards, towards the Kriyas Yamsuf that we had. That we should have also our own Yeshuris of type like Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what we're heading towards. What happened on that day of Kriyas Yamsuf? How are we zoicha to Kriyas Yamsuf? So, the Pasuk says in Parashas B'Shalach, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And Rashi there says, that this teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'aveh l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. Where do we see that in the Pasuk? So the Chassam said, it says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'aveh l'tfilosan shel tzadikim? So he said, I'll explain it with a mashal. He said, there was a town where they ran out of water. Their supply of water had run out. It was a year where there was no rain. There was a drought. They didn't have any water, but they knew that in one place at the edge of the town, there was an underground spring, a huge underground spring. If they would know how to dig and how to be able to get down in and get to that water, to be able to extract it, they would have plenty of water. But no one there knew how to do it. There was one chacham who lived in the town who they knew he would know how to do it. But at the moment, he still had a ready supply of water. So he was high and dry, or high and wet, and he was okay. He didn't need any help. So how were they going to get him? They needed him to help them. But at the moment, he's secluded in his home, he's got his supply of water, he's not helping them out. So they decided, you know what we're going to do? We'll go and get rid of his supply of water. One night, under the cover of night, they went, they emptied out all his water. The next morning, he's got no water. No, what are you going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? This is a spring. We don't know how. Okay, he got the chevra together and he taught them and he showed them, and they managed to get that mayon to flow. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly hears our tefillahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly wants to be mashpia on the world. And sometimes what we have done is we've created a barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the averus that we may have done. And the world is unable to be zoicha to have its tefillahs answered. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He makes a tzaddik need that thing which Klal Yisrael needs. So when the tzaddik comes along and he drills through that masach, he drills through that barrier that's been created by our virus in the world. Once he's drilled through, and the shefa starts to come down, then we all have access to it. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he took Klal Yisrael over here. Klal Yisrael needed a Yeshua. But then, halalu evdei avodah zarah, halalu evdei avodah zarah. So how are they going to get out? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them with their tzaddikim to a situation where the tzaddikim had to daven. You look there, in Parashat B'Shalach, it says there were different things that were happening. Some people complained, some people davened, some people gave up, some people were miyayish, and Targum Yonis and Menuziel, and the other Mepharshim there explained there were, I think, four different groups of people. The tzaddikim were the ones that davened. And their tefillahs worked to create, to pierce through the barrier that had been created by all of the rest of Klal Yisrael, who had been Oda B'Dazara for the last, I don't know how many years. The tefillahs of the tzaddikim broke through. Once those broke through, then the shefa bracha came, and Klal Yisrael all zeicha. So he says, that's what we are building towards from Yom HaRishon ad Yom HaShvi'i, to know that the power of our tefillah, the power of a tefillah of a tzaddik, and that's what we are trying to be able to be by the time we get to Shvi'i Shal Pesach, or at least to be close to tzaddikim, that our tefillahs can go out with theirs, or be close to tzaddikim, that we can be zeicha to the shefa bracha that they bring down, that we'll be zeicha to as well. But that only begins, that only works if we begin the Avodah right from the beginning of the Chodesh. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift to Klal Yisrael. When he came and he said to them, HaChodesh HaZelochem, you're going to have this amazing Chodesh. The beginning of all Chodesh, but this is going to be the amazing Chodesh for you. And from Rosh Chodesh, I'll already tell you exactly how to get there. You've got to anticipate for 10 days that on day 10 you're going to be taking a carbon. That means you're going to start a real Kirvah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you doing during those 10 days? Preparing yourself to be able to get it. And then there's the last finer details of preparation, after which we're zoicha to tremendous Yeshuas of the night of Teshuvah of the Leil HaSeder. So in a certain way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that, and that was replicated by Klal Yisrael throughout our history. Any Yid who went up to Yerushalayim, just imagine for ourselves, Chazal tell us that the hills leading up to Yerushalayim looked like they were peppered with snow. From all the little white sheep that were being taken up by families and chaburas that were ascending to Yerushalayim. And then people came to Yerushalayim. Hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps millions, arrived to Yerushalayim in this confined space. And that's the people, the Chazal tell us, anyone who went out on that Seder night would hear Hallel being sung from the rooftops, and the waft of the Korban Pesach, which itself had something that was very ruchniistic about it, was smelt by everyone in Yerushalayim. There was this tremendous simcha and aliyah and kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But anyone who wanted to be able to partake in that had to have been prepared. That means they had to have known that they didn't have Tumas Meis. So they had to have been able to be in Yerushalayim early enough that if they needed Hazor, they would be able to start a Tara process on day 3 to have the Hazor, on day 7 to have the next one, then to be able to go to Mikveh, then to be able to prepare themselves, and then to get a Korban, be part of a Chabura, etc., etc., etc. There was this tremendous shukah of Klal Yisrael to want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which continued by virtue of the fact that they needed to get ready to go to a Beis HaMikdash. That we don't have that Beis HaMikdash now, but we have the chukka that we can try and create it, and then we have a tremendous thing when a Yid wants to do something and Ba'onis can't do it. Chazal tell us that it's nechshav ki'ilu asoy, and in a certain way that's more powerful than when the person does it themselves, because when I do a mitzvah myself, I'm limited in the amount of kavana and all the other components that go with the mitzvah. But when the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, look, I'll consider it as if you've done it, then Rebbeinu Shlomo considers it if we've done a mitzvah v'shemus. So commensurate to the tshuka and the rotzen that we have to want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, halavai we should be able to have a Beis HaMikdash and a Korban Pesach and be able to bring it, commensurate to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower upon us this chodesh, that it should be a chodesh shaboy Yeshua's makifah is bichlal or bifrat, and we should be zoicha to go'ula shleima b'mehir v'yameinu.